All right. We're in? No, you can't start that. Are you singing already?
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. Ready? Okay. Naomi, sing us a song. And sing it loud, okay? I'll be right back.
Okay. I feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. Tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. Something has to break. Right now in your name, something has to break. Something has to break. Right now in your name, something has to break. I believe you get me to it. I believe you get me through it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to break. I believe you will lead me through it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to break. I believe you get me through it. I believe you get me to it. I believe get me through it right now. Something has to break. I believe you lead me through it. I believe you get me to it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe that you will do it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to break. I believe that you will lead me. I believe that you will do it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to break. I believe you lead me through it. I believe you get me to it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to break. I believe that you will do it. I believe that you will do it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to break.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. That was beautiful.
That was good, man. You know why? Because I remember when I was 9 years old, my mom called me up to do something in front of the church. I cried, and then she said, go ahead and sit down. I didn't have to do it after, but you did it.
Amen.
All right. That's
beautiful.
Yeah. Good job, Stevie. That was beautiful.
All right, Drea, pray us in. We are
Hallelujah.
Here.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to go right into prayer due to the hour. I just want to thank you for all you faithful soldiers. We're right in the midst of this fast, and you can just see how the enemy is trying to disrupt, but we are staying faithful. And so we pray that you will be in tune. You listen to the message that's before us, and tune in to Nicole and I later on this evening or first thing tomorrow morning as we give you another word of encouragement in regards to the fast. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought the song was purposeful. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You ready?
Let's pray.
Okay.
Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, did I ask you all to stand? Hallelujah. Those that can. Don't feel obligated if you cannot. Amen. Praise God. I know your hearts are bowed and you're standing. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this day, dear Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, dear Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that resides in this place, dear Jesus. We thank you. Lord, thank you that someone is praying, dear Jesus, yes. And that you will do what you purpose to do, dear Lord, that your angels will already disperse, dear Lord, as we begin our mission, dear Jesus. Day one in the fast, dear Lord, just like in the book of Daniel, dear Lord, when he started his 21 days, dear Jesus, you were already moving,
yes.
Lord. So we see you moving. We feel you're moving. We know that you are breaking things. Healing and deliverance has gone forth, dear Lord. We stand on that today in Jesus' name, dear Lord. Those that are missing something, dear Lord, you are filling it with your spirit. Only you alone can do. Help us to continue to rely on you, dear Jesus. We thank you right now as we stand with Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, as he was ministered to this day, dear Jesus. That word that was ministered to his heart will be a reflection on what we hear today, dear Jesus. I pray that hearts are bowed and ears are open, spiritual ears, dear Lord, that this message will take root, dear Jesus, and we can be excited about what you're doing and when you're coming, dear Jesus, that we will praise your holy name, that we will worship on you, dear Jesus, and we will not be distracted with the ways of the chaos of the world.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
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 Amen. All right, I'm just grabbing my glasses.
Hallelujah.
And I am.
Pastor Drea, people are already posting our new position to other formats.
Amen.
Karen Fox is on it. She gave us an idea of how to
make this thing.
So God is moving it.
I need that one too?
You need them all.
Really?
Yeah, don't take them off and don't move. Amen.
Hey. All right. Praise the Lord. Everybody blessed?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm going to got my new water jug, Pastor. You like that?
I like that.
You like that, huh?
Amen.
Okay. Let me get my study out of here. We need to realize something. I don't know if you guys realize it yet or not, but we got in trouble for doing what? It was on there. It said medical misinformation.
Oh!
That's what it said. Because we were saying, don't get jabbed. Because the first jab is not going to help you, and the second jab is going to ruin you, and all of this. So there was a guy, he's a leader of another country. He said the way they find out what's truthfully going on in the world is they look at whatever's being blocked, and then they know that's the
right.
So anyway, we've said enough about that. And we will address that at another time as well.
Amen.
Today's message is about the very thing that we're going through, okay?
Amen.
And I just want to give honor to Jasmine for the way she's raising her kids.
Yes. Amen.
You're absolutely awesome, Jasmine. I mean, it just touches my heart because I remember my mom and raising us, and we were blessed to be able to, for my mother to be able to accept Christ, because before Christ, we were a wild house. But when she accepted Jesus, man, everything fell into place. Everybody in the house began to get blessed, you know. And to this day, all my brothers are married, they all have their homes, they're all, you know what I mean? It's like, once God moves in, he starts situation and moving things around and blessing your kids and blessing your household. And so I just want to tell you, it's a beautiful thing to watch it happen all over again.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I wish we were in the way. Amen. That deserves it. I wish we were.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard to help them all by
yourself.
So amen.
Amen. So, and you know, we're with you, whatever you need. So, praise God for single moms, all over who are doing it all, like my mom did. And I wish we weren't in the times that we're living in, okay? Because we should be, kids should be in school, you know what I mean? This whole crazy thing shouldn't be going on. But being the fact that you guys were born so late, 1999, 2005, 2000, I mean, you guys, like, you guys came in late on the game, and so we are living in end time prophecy, but it's still a beautiful thing, because in your house lives eternal life and an eternity with Christ and all these blessings that come with knowing God, okay? So once you, it doesn't matter the time we're living in when it comes to God, because the blessings are forever. And so rather we're in heaven in resurrected bodies, or we're here and God continues to bless us, we are blessed, okay? But we are living in some pretty crazy times. I want to emphasize to everyone the next move of God, and the next move that's going to happen in the world is the rapture, okay? We are in a absolutely crazy predicament, is because we're in a situation where they're trying to poison the world, okay? They're trying to get rid of as many people as they can, and this is not a new scheme or strategy. This is a very old. If you guys ever have the chance to look at the Georgia Guidestones, look at the Georgia Guidestones, and the first thing that it says on the Georgia Guidestone is what? Keep the human population at 500 million or under, right? Now, if you consider that there are 7 billion people in the world, that means somebody wants to get rid of at least 6 billion people, okay? So, and that stone sits in a park in Georgia with all of the Illuminati's goals for humankind, okay? And someone would say, well, why don't somebody just go there and tear it up? It is so guarded that they got cameras on it. If anybody does anything to it, they come right in. And I've seen it happen. So someone put it up there, and it's written in 8 different languages. So rather you speak English or Spanish or Greek or whatever, it's telling you these are the Illuminati goals, and one of them is to get rid of 6 billion of you in your face. And then, so now that they have this scheme that they're trying to do it, we have to understand what's going on. And that's what I'm trying to tell you guys last week. All you young people and stuff, I know you came in late. I know you haven't seen a whole lot, and nobody's going to tell you the truth. And TV is going to keep you entertained. And so, you know, you may never get the knowledge of what God is doing. And then with the way the church is now, you may never get the knowledge of what God is doing.
That's right.
Or get the knowledge of what the war is all about. All you have to do is look in the mirror and you can say, that's what the war is all about. What is that? You made in the image of God. God says, you are my children. I have made a plan for you to have eternal life. And we're going to have to get through this war together. Accept what I did for you on the cross. Arm yourself each day because you have enemies. And live your life blessed because I've issued out angels to watch over you and keep you.
Amen.
And this is the blessing of God that we're living in. But you have to know the plan, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of each and every one of you that's born again, who has given your life to Jesus Christ. That Holy Spirit was given to the world by God on Pentecost, mm-hmm. 50 days after Jesus resurrected, okay? And so God knows, you like, because I used to think, like, when God raptures, how's he going to know which ones to take? Well, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. It's not going to be, you know, it's like everybody who's holding up a light, take them, you know. Mm-hmm. You've got a light inside of you, and God knows who to take and who to leave, okay? So, but the plan is to take the church out of the world. And no matter what the world is telling you, it's not going to deter God's plan. They tried to say, you know, Israel will never go back to Israel because we're making sure that we try to kill them all in Germany in the Holocaust. And then after the Holocaust, we don't want any of them going back to Israel. So if they get any boats to try to get back there, stop them, make sure that they don't get back. And they stop boat after boat of people, Jews trying to go back to Israel, even after the Holocaust. And they still couldn't do it. 1948, the exact same date that God said they'd be back, they were back. So I want you to know, nothing's going to stop the Holy Spirit from taking the church out of the world. I don't care if they come on the news or put it on your favorite MTV music channel. Nothing's going to happen. They're lying because you can't stop the Bible.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Wonderful position for all of us to be in because we know Christ. I want us to go to Thessalonians chapter 2, because since I've been knowledgeable of the rapture, you have 100 million people with 100 million views. You know, it's like there's 100 million people with 100 different ways to get to heaven. But how many ways are there to get to heaven?
One.
So you think God like, well, I have three different rapture scenarios, and you can pick whichever one you want. Or do you think God has one way that it's going to happen, and that's it? Yeah. He has one way. This is how it's going to happen. This is it. And this is called the blessed hope, because God wants the body of Christ to be inspired by the fact that one day the Lord is going to come and take you out. And believe me, you want to leave. You understand?
Yeah.
You, if you haven't seen enough bad stuff to want to leave, that means you haven't lived that long. There's enough stuff in this world to make you say, there's got to be. Is this the best God could do? You got to look at this world and go, all of this homelessness, there's got to be a better place than this. All of this that's going on, all these wars, all this stuff, is this the best that we can do? And God's saying, no, you're in the middle of a war. So while you're in the middle of a war, God wants you to know he has a plan.
Yeah.
That's why he put the Holy Spirit in you. Because one day God's going to say, okay, that's enough. Get my people out of there. I'm about to really do some cleaning up.
That's right. Amen.
And you want to be able to leave when he says that. When that trumpet blows, you want to be able to leave when he says that. And you want to be able to take your kids and your family and be in heaven and say, you know what? And then you know what you're going to do? Well, you know, because we only know our existence, right?
Right.
So we think, everybody, you know, if the mortal body is all there is, and once you leave this, you just disappear. That's a lie from Satan, okay? God is a spirit, and he created you. God is a spirit, and he created the earth. Everything you see, God, an invisible person created everything that you see.
Yes.
So that means the spirit is greater than the physical.
Amen.
And God has already talked about what was going on in heaven before he created earth. So you're not even the only being that God created.
Amen.
What Satan wants you to do is forget about God. Get involved in earth. Forget about you being better, because you're going to have to be better. I'm telling you right now, I'll forget that cartoon I was watching. That little squirrel wanted all he wanted was this.
Oh, yeah.
You know that? Man. And they were trying to get him to come up to a higher level. Don't just live for the nuts. Come up to a higher level. If that's all you're living for, you're living wrong. God has better things for us. And they're trying, and he just wanted that. And he ended up, you know, getting hurt or dying trying to get this one corn nut, right?
He just fell, huh?
And that's what God's trying to say. Look, I know what they're showing you. come up to a higher level, there's something better than that.
Yeah.
You understand? There's something better than drugs. There's something better than the newest cute chick. There's something better than that, okay? So God would want you to come up to another level, because the people that you're going to live with, they don't live on your level.
Amen.
They know God. Heaven has no... And be like the people where you're going, okay?
Amen.
So this is what we're preparing for. We're preparing to leave. Let's look in the book of Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're gonna... Ooh, I got so much to read, I need to stop talking. Okay. It says, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him. Now, let me explain something in Greek. Every time it says and in English, sometimes in Greek it says even. Meaning I'm talking about the same thing, okay? So, he's not talking about, he's saying, concerning the coming of the Lord, not the second coming, even our being gathered to him. So he's talking about the coming of the Lord when we are gathered to him.
Yeah.
You understand? And it says, we ask you, brother, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy report or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. For the day of the Lord will not come until, everybody read their English horrible interpretation. What does yours say?
Rebellion.
Mine says rebellion too. Who says a fall away? Thank you. Okay. All of those are horrible English interpretations of a word. The word is apostasy, which means departure or defection. Okay? So, God wants you to know the day of the Lord is not going to come until a departure happens. There, and the word has two meanings, a defection or a departure, okay? It's the word apostasia. Now, I'm going to ask you something. What does apostle mean? It's the same Greek word, those who have been sent out. Sent out, right? So the word apostasia comes from the same word as apostle. It just means to be sent out or to leave. But apostasia means to depart, and it means defection, because they use it when a person exits out of a war that's still going on, which is what you're about to do.
Wow.
You understand? That's why it has two meanings. A war is going on, but at some time God's going to say, okay, you've done enough for this war. I'll take it from here. You can't defect. Matter of fact, get your citizenship somewhere else. You don't have to be here anymore. I got it from here. You understand? So a defection of the body of Christ is not a falling away. Let me show you something. Where are my books at? Nope, I got to go over here, Pastor Ben.
Oh, dude.
I got to go over here. Did I pull out of everything?
Just
no, I didn't. I still got three of them on. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, now watch this. Okay, now watch this. This book right here is a Greek dictionary, Thayer's Greek English lexicon, right? Now, I have that one. Then I have this one here, Vine's Expository Dictionary on New Words in the New Testament, all in Greek, right? Am I the first person to decide to look up words as I'm studying the Word of God?
Yeah.
Is there a scripture in the Bible that says, read to show yourself approved?
Yes.
No.
This is study to show yourself approved.
Aha! Study to show thyself approved. Because you know what? You can read something in the newspaper and then you start teaching it and find out it's not even true.
Yeah.
But if you study it and you investigate it and you find out what it really means and what's going on, now you can teach it because you've done what? You've studied it. Most pastors, and I hate to say it because I'm one of them, don't study. They read, they get an idea of what it might say, and then from there they just go with it. So from that, you get the word, women can't preach. in church. Which it never said that. It says a woman should not speak out of order in church. So that's far from you can't speak at all. Then there's another one that says a woman should not teach a man. The word, the Greek word, it means mentor. So as a pastor, I'm never going to give a woman to a man, go mentor that guy, make him a man.
Right.
That ain't going to work. So God says a woman should not mentor a man. Let a man in the church mentor him, right? So there are scriptures in the Bible, even the word baptism. There's three different words in baptism. One means, and as you're reading them in the Bible, John says this. John says, I baptize you with water. He uses a complete different word than he says, but there's one coming who will baptizo you in the Holy Spirit. It means, the other word means there's somebody coming who's going to dye you the same color as him. He's going to die like the crimson worm, right?
Yeah.
He's going to release his blood, and his blood is going to be over you, and you're going to look like Jesus. He said he's going to dye you red. And so Jesus' baptism is different than a water baptism.
Yeah.
But you won't know this because people make you think that a baptism is a baptism is a baptism. Have you been baptized? John says the one he did with water is different from the one that Jesus does. Okay? So that's why we weren't worried about you. We knew you guys were already baptized in his color.
Yes.
You understand? The water is a ceremony to let the world know this is my declaration to God. It's a ceremony. You understand? So if you don't study the words, you're not going to know what the Bible is trying to tell you. Okay?
Yes.
Let me continue on this, then we'll go to where I need to go, okay?
Amen.
So it says, don't let anyone deceive you, for that day will not come until a departure occurs. And the lawless man is revealed. So a departure has to occur, and then the lawless man will be revealed.
Yes.
The man doomed to destruction. Do you mean the Antichrist is not going to appear until the departure happens? Is that even with scripture? Because scripture tells about scripture so that you know that this is written in more than one place so you can confirm it, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so this is it. It says, the man who is doomed to destruction, he will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. God says, this man is coming.
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Amen.
This is not, I think he might come. He's coming.
Amen.
True. As sure as you can get on a plane and go to Israel, which didn't exist for 2,520 years, which God gave you the exact years that they would be gone.
Yes.
And told you it'll be back in 1948. As sure as you can go to Israel, the Antichrist is coming.
Yes.
And the Antichrist has an agenda. And what is his agenda? To depopulate the earth first. He's coming to conquer and destroy.
Yes.
He wants to depopulate. He says in the Georgia Guidestone, we don't want more than 500 million people on earth at all. We want to reduce it. So that means we've got to kill off at least 6 billion.
Amen.
And so, if you don't think that this is real, then just look at what they're doing. We want everybody to get the jab. I guess we got to say that now, Pastor Ben. We want everyone, because this is an opportunity that they're not going to get back.
Amen.
And guess what? They're not going to let you get back until they accomplish it.
Amen.
And so, therefore, we've got to depend on something else. Or else we've got to submit to what they're doing.
Yes.
So what's the something else we depend on? Jesus Christ. Moses and the Hebrew people, they're like, here we are, our backs against the water, we can't swim. Either God's going to do something or we're all going to drown. I'm telling you, God's going to do something. So to be in Christ is the most important thing. And you don't want to play around with it. Satan wants you to play around with it. You don't want to play around with it. Why? Because it's significant to your life. This is a life or death war that you're in. You don't go to war to play. You go to war because wars are life and death. You're in a war, and the war is for your life, okay? You got a lot of help. You got angels, and you got the Holy Spirit, and you got God. They can't whip you.
Amen.
But you have to be ready to go to war when you get up. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to stop there, and I may come back. I want us to go back to Genesis chapter 24. I remember I was little, I just read the portion in Revelation that it said the people in the tribulation had gotten their heads chopped off. So I went and read it to my little brother Greg.
Oh no.
I said, "Reed, listen to this. If we're here during the tribulation, they're gonna chop our heads off." And he just started crying and ran to my mother.
Poor kid.
She said, "What do you do to him?" I was reading the Bible to him.
That was mean.
But look, it's in there for a reason, though.
Yeah.
It should make all of us cry if you don't know Jesus. That is going to happen. God did not write anything in here that is not going to happen. You understand? When the tribulation comes, some people are going to have to make that choice. Either take the mark or off with it. And so I'm just letting you know, the trumpet blowing, what you need to do to make sure that you're not ever in that situation. Okay? Here's the plan. You in Genesis chapter 24?
Amen.
It says, Abraham was old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaanite among whom I am living, but will go to a country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son. So this is Abraham having the chief servant of his house leave the country that they're at, go to a country where my people live, find a bride for my son and bring her back here.
Amen.
If we read more, you will see the whole conversation. He says, well, what if she doesn't want to come back here? Should I come get your son and take him there? And he said, no, don't do that. He said, you bring her here. You understand? If she don't want to come here, forget the whole oath, okay? But he's telling this guy who's the chief. Now, the chief in the house, his name is Eleazar, which means what? God's helper, which is the same name of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus says, I will send you what? A helper, an Eleazar, into the world. Why? To go inside of you, to be a part of who you are, to be in your life so that God can distinguish you from them. You understand?
Yes.
Because there are some people that never said, Jesus, come into my life. There's some people that said, I don't want to get baptized. There's some people that say, I already found Buddhism. I don't need Jesus. There's a whole bunch of different things going on in the world that Satan is doing to keep people away from a simple answer of how to get to heaven. But you have it. And now all God wants you to do is protect it till you get out of here. So don't be relaxed about this. Be diligent. Study your word. Read. Pray. If you know there's something about you that's not like God, repent. Get rid of it. Get out of this stuff. Because you're trying to be in relationship with the one who loves you. You understand?
Yes.
So here Eleazar is. Now, this is what happens with Eleazar. He goes and he's trying to find his wife for Abraham's son. Like, the Holy Spirit's here trying to get you, trying to find a bride for God's son, who is what? Jesus, right? And everybody who accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior becomes part of the bride. So he's trying to find, he's here inviting people and telling them this is what's going to happen. But sooner or later, once he finds the bride, what does he have to do?
Gotta go.
He's got to leave. And when he leaves, who's he bringing with him? He's taking the bride with him. Now, let's go to verse 61 and you'll see that. Now it says here, then Rebekah, that's the lady he found, and her maids got ready and mounted the camel and went back with the man. What man? Eleazar. So the servant took Rebekah and left. So now he takes her, puts her on the camel, and he leaves. And he's on his way back to where? To the father's house, to Abraham's house, right? To make sure that the son and the bride connect. That's what we're here for. What's the Holy Spirit's job while we're here? First mention is Hebrew is the real reason. Yes. The first mention is to find a bride for the son. That's why the Holy Spirit's here.
Amen.
And if you've accepted Christ, you are part of that bride. And sooner or later, he has to leave.
Yes.
And with our backs against the wall right now, this is the perfect time to look at this and go, wow, either we're going to drown in the Red Sea or somebody's going to split the Red Sea and we're going across to the other side.
Amen.
And these are all the examples that God wants you to know what's going on. Okay. Now let's go to Romans chapter 11. I want us to understand something, because there's a lot of people I don't know if you guys know who Martin Luther was, but not Martin Luther King. Don't get it mixed up. There's another guy named Martin Luther who defected from the Catholic Church, and he realized that Catholicism wasn't it,
right?
And that he really needed to follow Jesus. So he was so happy. He got out of the Catholic Church, and he says, I got to go tell the Jews that Jesus is their Messiah. And what do you think the Jews said when they met him?
Shoot him.
Get out of here. You know what happened to the last guy, right? So Martin Luther started hating Jews and saying, you know, these people crucified our Messiah, and now they don't want to accept him. So God is finished with them. And Martin Luther's problem was since he was Catholic, he had not read the Bible, because they didn't allow you to do it. And he had never read it, so he didn't know that God blinded Israel so that Israel would be on board for crucifying Christ, because his thing was he wanted Christ to be crucified so that the Gentile world could accept the Messiah and come to Christ. And he says, later, I'll come back and get the Jews, and I'll save you by grace, because you won't have to do any works of the law to get saved.
Yes.
Okay? So, God's plan is perfect, and it's working out perfectly. Okay? But don't ever think God has forgotten about Israel. Don't be like these crazy people that go, I just hate Jews because of somebody wrote me a long letter about what the Jews are doing to Palestine. Yeah, I'm like, do you realize how many bombs Palestinians blew up?
Really?
Buses and kids and schools in Israel before they said, okay, y'all can't live with us. You know what I mean?
Amen.
They are protecting themselves. And so we have to understand, but the Jews don't love Jesus. Some of them do. They're called Messianic Jews, right?
Yes.
Jews for Jesus and all this.
Yes.
But on the whole part, they don't. So let's read this and look at this. It says, again, I ask you, did God stumble? I'm in verse 11 in Romans chapter 8. Did God stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentile, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? Because God's planning on bringing them back at some time, but not until after the tribulation.
Amen.
That's why you gotta go. Because he has to get back to dealing with the Jewish nation. I am talking to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles in hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered is first fruit is holy, then the whole batch is holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, through a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. Now, I'm just going to explain this real fast. An olive tree, you can take any tree, any branch from any tree, connect it to an olive tree, and that olive tree will adopt it and produce olives on that branch. You can grab one off an orange tree, you can grab one off any tree. The olive tree is dominant.
Yes.
It will take over that branch and produce olives if you graft it into it, okay? This is what Christ is doing. It don't matter what tree you came from. You've been grafted into the olive tree. Yes. And so now your branches are beautiful because the root is beautiful, okay?
Yes.
So now that we're grafted into Christ, and remember, here, let's go continue. It says, for by the grace given, I say to you, it says, one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you are, okay? But rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in according to the measure of faith God has given. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we are many from one body, and each member belongs to the other. I'm reading in the wrong spot. You guys didn't even tell me. Did you? Yeah, you guys didn't even tell me. Okay. I was reading from the wrong spot. Okay, let's go to verse 25. 11, verse 25. So it says here, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brother. What's the mystery? That Israel was the original root, but now you have been grafted in and you are in Christ.
Yes.
I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved as it is written. Now, you have to stop there, go back to your Greek, and say, what does he mean that until all the Gentiles have come in? What, come into the knowledge of Jesus? No, it's a travel word. Do you know that? It's a word in Greek, it's called eskomahi, which means to leave and travel and enter into another city. So until the fullness of the Gentiles leave, travel, and enter another city, a blindness on Israel will exist. So that means you've got to go before, or else Israel's eyes will never get open.
Amen.
The whole reason that the Holy Spirit is here is to do what? Get a bride.
Yes.
And to take that bride back. And now you're finding out that Israel will be blind until you leave. And God really wants to save Israel, so don't think he's forgotten about them. So that means you have to leave. That's what the purpose of all this is, to gather a bride, to gather a community of believers that are Gentile, take them out of the world, then Christ come back and rescue Israel, complete it. Now you got both Jews and Gentiles, and God has a huge family.
Yes.
You understand?
5 minutes, Pastor.
Here you guys go. And it says here, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And so all of Israel will be saved. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn godlessness away from Jacob, which is Israel. And this is the covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as the election is concerned, they are loved on the account of the patriarchs. For God's gift and call to who? The Israelites is irrevocable. He made a promise to Abraham, he's going to keep it. You've got to leave. You guys done? You okay? Let's go to Malachi chapter 7. I mean Micah chapter 7.
Amen.
Micah chapter 7.
Yes.
God is speaking here. He said, what misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. God's coming for the fruit. That's Israel. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I've craved. The godly have been swept away from the land. That's what your Bible may say. If somebody's Bible says something different, let me know. But it says, the godly have been swept away from the land. Now, it uses this word in Hebrew. The godly have avad from the land. What does avad mean in Hebrew? Disappear. So God is telling you in the Old Testament that the righteous people of the earth have disappeared. Listen to this. It says, the godly have avad from the land, have disappeared. No one, not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both are skilled in doing evil. The ruler demands a gift. What happens after the people disappear?
It's crazy.
It seems like it's going crazy, right? God is letting you know, when I take you out, if you don't leave, it's going to get crazier than you've ever seen. So this is the reason why God is telling you to fight for your eternal life. You ain't seen crazy yet. As one girl told me as I'm trying to break up with her. You ain't seen crazy yet. Which is why I was trying to break up with her. Because I ain't seen crazy. Let me tell you something. You haven't seen it yet. We've seen a lot in this world. You didn't even experience World War I or World War II.
That's true.
Most of us don't even know what Vietnam was all about. We don't know about people going off to war and fighting. None of us ever been in a riot, unless you've been in L.A. You know what I mean? You've had to see some things in this world to realize this is a crazy place. And God is saying, when the church leaves, it's going to get crazy. And so this is why I'm telling you to live right.
Yes.
Because I don't want you to go through the crazy. Now, if you don't want to listen, which is what some men do, you understand? Some people just don't want to listen. So they end up in bad situations. Parents give them real good advice. Don't play in the street. But we just playing ball. Don't play in the street. Don't worry, we'll see the cars when they're... Little Johnny got his leg broke, right? Didn't I tell you not to play in the street, right? Because some people don't take advice. It's like, Now I'm going to do what I want to do. God said, don't be like that. Don't be one of those bubblehead people that just like, I just want to sin. I just want to sin. I just got to sin. It's just what I do. You're going to die. You're going to end up in hell. You're going to burn. No, it's just what I do. I'll be okay. That's how some people's mental is. Do you understand?
True.
They just, no matter how simple you make it, they don't want to change. Why? Because they love sin more than they love God.
Amen.
And that's a problem. Listen to this. The godly have disappeared from the land. Not one upright man remains. They said there are no more godly people in the world. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both are skilled in doing evil. The ruler demands a gift. The judges accept bribes. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them are like a briar. And the most upright worse than a thorn bush, which those are symbols of Satan. So they say the most righteous people in the world are just like Satan. And it says, the day of your watchman has come. The day God visited you, now is the time of their confusion. So it's coming.
Yeah.
This is, and the situation you're in the world should let you know it's coming. Look, they got control over the whole world. They just shut down Israel again.
What?
So it's coming. You understand? Everything in the Bible that's been prophesied has been happening moment after moment, event after event. Now we're here, and do you want to say, nah, this won't happen? They're showing you it's going to happen.
Yeah.
What's this other story that Gates wants to find a way to block the sun from?
Yeah, I heard about that.
I said, boy, demons have lots of fantasies.
Okay.
I said, God, just move your clothes and burn them up. But they know that every living thing in the world exists off of the sun. Okay? It don't matter. I got me good people here. Man. Y'all can throw that in the trash.
No,
I'm just kidding. No, not in the trash, but you know. Okay.
All the other churches do that.
Okay. We're going to finish up with this. Okay?
Yes.
This is what I need you guys to understand. The blossom tree. It says, when men are afraid of heights and the dangers of the street, and when the almond tree blossoms and the locust drag himself along, the desire no longer is steered, the righteous men will go to their eternal home and mourners will go about in the street.
Yes.
When the almond tree is blossomed. You know where the almond tree is doing right now in Israel? Pull it up when you get home. It's blossoming. So God is letting you know this is about the time that the righteous are going to go to their eternal home. Protect what God is giving you. You understand?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right.